The Lord. Hope you're all refreshed again. Now let's, we stopped last night concerning point C, Isaiah's confession on behalf of God's people. Definitely this is the speaking of Isaiah here, because he's the one who wrote it. But it also points to those who have seen the situations. You know, there must be some who saw the situation at that time and understood. There is the remnant. And here they say, therefore justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. No justice, no righteousness. Everything is okay. And we even have a teaching that we should, receive one another. It doesn't really matter. Love covers a multitude of sins. So we can continue to sin and we'll cover you. This is not what it really meant. We look for light. There is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. You know, but people are still there. They thought this is normal. A lot of people are like that. Oh, well, there's so many things wrong and it's perhaps dead, yes, but we are still the church. Oh, goodness. Right. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. That's right. Eyes and see not. Of course, if it's dark, even if you have eyes, you cannot see. We stumble at noonday, as at twilight, we are as dead men in desolate places. And then we growl like bears, and we moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. Right. So this kind of a situation is really sad. But not everybody sees this kind of a situation. No. In fact, they still thought they're okay. Everybody still thinks they're okay. Right? For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. Sad, the sad situation. You know, this kind of a confession or this kind of a realization before the Lord is necessary today for those who have seen and realized what's going on. Not too many people realize what is truly going on, because outwardly it looks okay. Can you imagine if the Lord or John the Baptist had not come, people would not have realized the vipers, the true condition of darkness during those days. I think John the Baptist probably was the first one, the only one. And then, of course, when the Lord came in chapter 12, the Lord also used you, generation of vipers. Right? So here we need to realize that today there is a need of some, not too many, who realize the true condition and the situation. Then we can assess the situation. You can see there is no righteousness, no justice, no light. Although we talk about light, we talk about life, but we are dead. It says here, we are as dead men in desolate places. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. And then there's a lot of growling, like bears, growling. And the doves are usually positive, right? But they are mourning Sadly, we look for justice, we don't find it. For salvation, it's far from us. Right. For our transgressions are with us, we continue with it. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. This is not good. This is not good. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. Truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. A terrible situation, a sad situation. So truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Yeah. Today, if you speak the truth here in California, they might stone you. Yeah. You think in the churches among God's people is not the same? If you tell them this is not right, right? What you're doing is really not according to the Lord, and it is offensive to the Lord. You think they will listen to you? You'll become a what?
A prey.
What? P-R-A-Y?
No. P-R-E-Y.
P-R-E-Y. So if someone prays, he becomes a prey. You tell the truth. You want to depart from evil. You don't agree with what they're doing. They will look at you. Like terrible things. And the next thing is you see the tweeters. And then you will hear what the media says. This is the situation. And this is going to be the situation before the Lord comes back. No wonder the Lord says, when the Son of Man comes, it will be as in the days of Noah. And in the days of Lot, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's really bad. Not very good. Right. And in the days of Noah, it is also not good. Right. So, then the Lord saw it. You think the Lord didn't see it? Why didn't the Lord do something about it? Now you tell me. You didn't see it? The Lord didn't know? What do you think the Lord will do and could do? There is no way the Lord could change them. No, the Lord cannot change them. At most, the Lord could restrain a little bit. But to change them, hey, even the Lord had a hard time changing you and me, right? Because the Lord doesn't force us. But the Lord will bring forth judgment. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. Hey, God is a just God, remember. He's a righteous God. The word righteousness in the Bible is a big word. It's one of the main description of who our God is. And the Lord sitting on the throne there. What did he say in Hebrews chapter 1? He loves. Are you sure? And he hates. Right. That is supposed to be the condition of the one sitting on the throne. But today, those sitting somewhere up in a government, they love lawlessness and they hate righteousness. the exact opposite of this wonderful king sitting on the throne above in the heavenlies. So the Lord saw, it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? It will come to a point that he couldn't find anyone. Right? And wonder that there was no intercessor. Oh, well, the Lord even was surprised. What? So many people? So many of my people, and there was no intercessor. No intercessor. I hope he will find some today. Oh, Lord Jesus. But if the Lord says he couldn't find anyone, then he's probably right. He is right. He must be right, not probably. Not too many people really cares, because we have been trained religiously for so many ages now just to be nice, just to accept anything and everything. It does not matter what somebody said to you about the pastor talking nonsense. You have to be open-minded. What do you mean open-minded? Open-minded? You just showed me something. George just showed me something about a pastor who already has 3 jets. Okay? He already has 3 jets. But then he complained that these 3 jets are not good enough for him because they have to be refilled when he goes around the world 3 times. So now he needs a jet that only needs to be to fill and refill fuel 1 time, and it costs $53 million. And he asked the congregation to donate so that he can buy.
He said it was for the gospel.
Of course, what else? He wouldn't say that it's for. And that's even worse if it's for the gospel. A televangelist wants his followers to pay for a $54 million private jet. It is his 4th plane. Why didn't somebody say anything about that? When the Lord came to this earth, of course there was no jet, but there were nice horses and wonderful carriages, right? And they can make a chariot of gold for him. And 2 white horses. Isn't that good for the Lord Jesus? And a nice cushion, just like a palanquin for the king. And he can even lie down and sleep on his way to Jerusalem. Right? You think he cannot afford it? He could even ask the angels to do it. And it's even made in heaven. And hey, Elijah rode on a flying chariot. Even fiery, of course, is full of power. That's a jet. The Lord rode on a foal of a donkey. And this is what he said. If Jesus were to descend from heaven and physically set foot on a 21st century earth, prosperity gospel televangelist Jesse Duplantis told his followers, the Redeemer would probably take a pass on riding on the back of a donkey. That means he probably would forget about the donkey because now it's the jet age. That's what he says here. He'd be on an airplane preaching the gospel all over the world. They would be on an airplane. And the Plantus thinks the light of the world wouldn't exactly settle for 30 inches of leg room or getting patted down by the TSA. And why would he choose anything less than a Falcon 7X, a private jet that nears the sound barrier, but also had a noise-limiting acoustic technology, a Bluetooth-enabled entertainment center, and an optional in-flight shower. Goodness. And Duplantis saying he needs about $54 million to help him efficiently spread the gospel to as many people as possible, blah, blah, blah. You may think it's a joke. What would the Lord say? Why would the Lord? What would the Lord say? Would it please him? And do you think it is evil in the sight of the Lord? He is a preacher of prosperity, turning the gospel of salvation into a gospel of prosperity. That is evil. You're preaching a different gospel. And for preaching such a gospel, of course, you have to demonstrate prosperity. A $54 million jet with a shower in an entertainment center. And his followers are going to contribute $54 million. Can you imagine that? And he already had three. Huh. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. It is written here. He sees everything. There was no justice. And he saw that there was no man. Nobody said anything in that congregation. Maybe they're all wishing that they would have a private jet like the pastor. They believe in the gospel of prosperity, so maybe the Lord will give them, each one of them, a private jet. And wondered that there was no intercessor. Nobody dares say anything. Nobody says anything. Right? This is not right. Right? Don't believe that people who are sitting in congregation there and just receiving nothing and sitting there that nobody knows. There are a few who knows, but what can they do? Where can they go? Right? Yeah. Oh Lord, so the only way for the Lord to do is judgment. And this is the coming judgment of the Lord Jesus. This is why these chapters are joined to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to judge this earth. Firstly, to judge his people and also to judge the whole earth. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with a zeal as a cloak, the zeal of judgment is coming to judge according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. He will repay. Yeah. That's right. Fury to his adversaries. Yeah. Adversaries are the enemies from within. the insiders among God's people, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders, and all those in position there, instead of becoming God's, instead of being God's people, they became God's adversaries. Recompense to his enemies and the coastlands, even the whole nations, the coastlands referring to the nations, he will fully repay. My, then comes the judgment day. Yes, the Lord cannot change them. It's impossible to change the situation, even today. You want to see a change? Very, very difficult to change. You cannot change it anymore. You cannot turn the clock backwards. So the only way for the Lord is judgment, the coming judgment. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, from his glory, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Right? So, there will be judgment. Right. Right. There is your answer to explain why the second coming of the Lord is so dark, and that describes in 58 and 59 described the condition of God's people and the world, of course, before the Lord's second coming. Yeah. And of course, chapter 60, just briefly, I read it last night. Arise and shine, as this talks about the coming of the Lord, right? For your light has come, Zion, talking to Zion. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. But behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. And this is the immediate condition of God's people shortly before the Lord's come back. Darkness. Darkness. And deep darkness the people. Right. So you can really see that today there is a need for us to wake up. Because if we don't realize what is going on today, you take it for granted you're going to make it. And what makes you so sure that you're going to make it? Yeah. Give me a good reason. Right? Oh Lord, so this seems to be the only way, as Isaiah put it, for the Lord's return to judge this earth, because there is no way, no more. Right? The people are so fallen to such an extent, it is hard. In his first coming, it was Judaism. In the second coming of the Lord, it's not Judaism. It is Christianity. And I'm saying this not against the Christians, no. Not against the real Christian faith, no. But against Christianity as a religion. Oh Lord, right, so the Lord will come and judge, and the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him, against his enemies. That means it's a war, it's judgment time. Just like in Revelation chapter 19, the Lord will come with his army, right, riding on white horse to fight against the enemy. Right. And this, you have to really turn to the book of Revelation to understand what Isaiah is talking about. Right, what he's describing. And the wonderful thing is in verse 20, the Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. Now this is the goal of his coming. It's not just judgment, but he will come to Zion. And this is what we are building, hopefully, today. The real church life today must be the heavenly Zion. What we have been emphasizing the past couple of years, according to Hebrews chapter 12, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the city of the great King, to the heavenly Jerusalem, Zion. Zion is a very wonderful thing. It is the city of our feasts. It is the city where the Lord is going to set up his throne by his second coming, at his second coming, and it will last forever, not just 1,000 years. Because both in Isaiah, in Zechariah, right? And in Ezekiel it says, and here will be my throne, not just temporarily, but forever. Zion. What is Zion? Not easy. Not easy to explain today. Years ago, we would talk about, what is the church? Oh, yeah, because Watchman Nee wrote there, one city, one church, so you're standing on the ground. Then you're the church. My goodness. In the last few years now, there are so many people, different groups now standing on the ground. In Toronto, how many grounds there is in Toronto? One ground, right? One city, right? Yeah, one city. And so only one ground, right? Yeah. How many churches standing on that one ground, proclaim standing on that one ground? About five. So which one is the real one? What do you think the Lord will say? None of them. You have to know the Lord really substantially, inwardly, to really know what His church really is. And it's called the Church of the Firstborn. The Church of the Firstborn. 众长子们的教会. That means you should be a man, a person, a Christian, a believer who does not sell your birthright. Yeah, for a morsel of what? Food, soup. Many times we're like that. We don't care. We care for ourselves. We care for our own comfort. We care for whatever I like. Oh, so. You lose your birthright, you sold it. There's one thing that you cannot gain it back, even if you weep for it, even if you repent. That's what Hebrews says. Right. So, it is very difficult. And the Lord is going to shake away everything that doesn't belong to it. Don't think it's okay. It's going to be shaken. There's already been a lot of shaking. I've gone through some spiritual earthquakes, and it's still going on. One quake after another. Don't think the Lord will tolerate. No, the Lord is going to shake. So that only that which is unshakable will remain. But you should tell the Lord, Lord, if you keep on shaking, at the end, nothing will remain. At the end, Lord, if you keep on shaking the way you are shaking, at the end, there won't be nothing left. Well, if there's nothing left, there's nothing left. The Lord will have a remnant, although it might be a very small remnant, like Isaiah said. The Lord will tell you, don't worry, there will be a very small remnant. Now you tell me, that bride in Revelation chapter 19, is it the totality of God's people? Definitely not. The woman in Revelation chapter 12 is the totality of God's people. Are they all raptured to the throne? Or who got raptured? A child. How big is a child? Who just born, especially one that just born, looks like a doll compared to the big universal woman. So, the remnant is not going to be very big. One brother, he was a dear old brother now from Italy, he was one time telling me, if God's people keep on doing their own thing and it keeps on dividing and separating themselves, at the end, God will be just like Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. He's just alone. God will be alone again. He says, God will be alone again. But praise the Lord, there will be a remnant. There will be a remnant. And by the Lord's mercy, I hope that we will be a part of that remnant. Amen. We definitely dare not say that we are the remnant, although our song says we are the remnant. Maybe we should change the song a little bit. We're part of the remnant, but I don't know where the other part might be. Right. But at least we have a desire to be those who want to depart from evil, to those who are seeking after the truth, to those who realize what a present condition is and turn away from the transgression of Jacob. Yeah, because this is what the Lord is coming back for. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob. That means if you do not turn from the transgression of Jacob, you won't be able to be in Zion. And here, at the time of Isaiah, he's talking about the earthly Jews at that time. But Zechariah tells us 2/3 of the Jews, of God's people there, will be destroyed, will be killed. The remaining 1/3 will have to pass through fire to be purified, to be sanctified. Because God is not going to just take them as they are. No, they will have to go through fire. And to be sanctified, purified, just like gold tried in fire. And today our faith also must be tried in fire. This is what Peter said. Right? If we don't go through the trials today in our faith to go through fire, and that's the only way to purify gold, okay? Do you know of another way? I don't know. I'm not an expert. But I only know that there's one way, and only one way, to purify gold and silver. And today, we need to go through the purification process. So you have to realize it is not just the knowledge of the Word of God. It is not just the truth objectively that we are learning today. But it is to have the knowledge of the living God. That means you have to be in touch with Him. You need to humble yourself, lower yourself. One of the problems of fallen human being is pride. We think we know everything. We think we know. So what if I know the Bible? The Lord will not test me to see what did Isaiah 53 says. Of course, that's a simple question. I can tell him what Isaiah 53 says. He says, pass. Not that simple. No. Right. So the doctor will not test your knowledge of anatomy. What does this muscle call now? Okay, you're healed. No. No. He wants to see you fully healed and transformed and changed and holy and righteous. To live Christ, how much Christ have we gained? The weight of glory. Glory has weight. No wonder in Philippians, Paul says he wants to gain what? Christ. You want to gain Christ. How are you going to gain Christ? Reading the Bible every day? No, you live Him every day. In every opportunity you take to gain Christ. To be righteous, to be holy. To gain the virtues of Christ. Right, to be like Him, the wonderful humanity of the Lord, and willing to go through sufferings, willing to bear the burden of others, to have His love, His compassion. Right. Oh Lord, without all these, you can have a lot of knowledge and doctrine, you will not pass. Believe me, you will not pass. No. Don't tell the Lord, well, we're okay because we're standing on the ground. You'll be greatly surprised. The Lord will tell him, you're not standing on the ground, you're standing on the dirt. We need to be saved to the uttermost. We need to change. We need to be righteous, holy before God. Amen. As for me, says the Lord. Verse 21, let us read together. Isaiah 59, verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. This is wonderful. When the Lord returns to Zion in His second coming, this is going to be the everlasting covenant that the Lord will make with His people, with us. And this is what God says to the Lord, my spirit, and the Lord here is Yahweh, Jehovah. My spirit who is upon you, what kind of a spirit is that? In chapter what of Isaiah? chapter 11 of Isaiah, right? A wonderful spirit. My spirit which is upon you, upon Christ, upon this faithful servant, upon the Messiah, and my words. It's wonderful. Not just the spirit, but the word. Not just the word, but the spirit. You need both. If you just have the spirit and without the word, so-called spirit, you become a Pentecostal believer. There's just spirit, 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 and at the end it's a funny spirit. Even strange spirit. And if you are just for the word, word, and word, and more word, you will be like, at the end, the exclusive brethren. Just for the word, and word, and word, and word, and word, and only word, word, word. No. You need both. The word and the spirit. And the Lord joined this too. He says, the words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. So is it the word or the spirit? Or is it the spirit or the word? Right. It's not spirit without word. And not the word without the spirit. But it is the word that is the spirit and life. And this wonderful spirit and life is joined to the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is living, is effective and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword. This is the covenant. And today, this must be our reality. Amen. Because today, we have both the Spirit and the Word. And when the Lord comes back in his second coming, then Zechariah says he will pour out the spirit of grace and supplication to his people. Right? And they will repent. And all of them will be mourning and weeping, realizing they missed it. And they crucified the Messiah, which they have still been waiting for so long. Right. So praise the Lord. The Spirit, His Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, and His words should not depart from us. From this time and forevermore. Right. Without the Spirit, the Word is sort of dead for us. No life. We don't see anything. No light of life. Right. But without the Word, you are just a man today who needs the understanding. That's why the Spirit is also the spirit of understanding, not just wisdom. We need to understand what the Lord is saying. Right? We are not just angels. Right? So we do need both. That's why we need to love the Word, not as doctrines, but His speaking, and to be doers and to practice and to obey the Word of God. Praise the Lord. We stop here, right? Let's have some prayers.